Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Exodus, chapter 15. Let's begin reading with verse 22. Exodus 15, 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God to do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, today for your presence and your Holy Spirit that's here with us today. And I thank you for the scriptures, the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you just open to our understanding, God, what we need today. You know how to speak to every heart, and I don't, but you know. And I pray that you'd bless, minister, anoint your servant, anoint your people to hear. I pray that the needs would be met, the questions would be answered, Lord, that we'd be drawn close to you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll talk about the bitter waters made sweet. Not everything in this world is sweet. Not everything is bitter either. But this bitterness is something that we all have dealt with at one time or another, if we're honest. And many years ago now, that I had just finished up working a job in electrical work, and the boss came to the guy that owned the company, came to me, and he said, "Ken, I'm going to have to let you go after this." And I said, "Well, Mr. Westbrook," it was Westbrook Electric, in case you're wondering, it's not here. And I said, "If I've been doing something wrong?" He said, "No, you've been a wonderful hand." He said, "We don't have any more jobs coming up, and we're just out of work. That's the reason." I said, "Okay." And so my temptation was to become bitter about that because I didn't have anything else to do. I had a wife and a kid to provide for, and I had, you know, just things to do, bills to pay and all that. But I didn't become bitter. I could have, but I didn't, because there was really nobody to be bitter at. If work stops, there's got to be work for there to be a job. But Israel had just seen the entire Egyptian army destroyed in the Red Sea. They had saw the bodies of the cruel taskmasters that had beaten them and treated them roughly. They saw those dead bodies of people wash up on the shore. And they sang a victory song after that. In the previous verses here in Exodus 15, you can find that song of Moses. And so, but now they would have to learn to walk by faith. They were delivered from Egyptian bondage, but they would have to live by faith and learn to walk by faith. They would have to learn to trust God for their every need and for the need of necessities of life. Amen. And whether we realize it or not, we have been provided for by God for the necessities of life ourselves. It's his blessing. And so, they just sang a song, but now they would learn to walk by faith, and they would learn to totally depend on God who delivered them. And 3 days later, their singing had stopped. Here they were in a desert. They were used to being in Egypt, and God provided for all their needs there. They talked about the flesh pots and all the kind of stuff, good stuff they had to eat, the melons and leeks and all of that, and onions. I'm not sure that I envy the onions part or not, but anyway, they had plenty to eat in Egypt. But now they begin to see the difficulties that lie ahead of them, and they had not learned to walk by faith. They were not born again of the Spirit like we are in New Testament church, but they depended upon God, or they had to learn to depend upon God for everything. But they had just got through singing a victory song, and now they weren't singing anymore. 3 days later, after a 30-mile journey in 3 days, that's about 10 miles a day, and that's probably faster than you and I walk. But anyway, they came to this place. They were thirsty. It's about 30 miles where they from where they had landed on the eastern shore of the Red Sea. And so the lack of water in this area would prove to be a constant test of Israel's faith in God, who had so miraculously rescued them from Egyptian bondage. But lack of water causes thirst. It does cause thirst. Amen. And nothing else mattered but a drink of water to them. I've been there a few times. I grew up on a farm, and I can remember times when I was glad to get back. We worked then. And we were out in the field, and we grew peanuts. It was the main crop of that area at that time, and we hoed peanuts. It means we went down the rows by foot and pulled all the weeds or hoed all the weeds and everything out that wasn't good or that would suck the life out of the peanuts. And so water, I know what it was to be thirsty, but when you're thirsty, nothing else matters except a drink of water. But here we find that in this wilderness, the carnal nature of mankind kicks in, and they began to complain. I talked to you about complaint last week, so this is not part two of a complaint message. But anyway, here they did complain. It says it again here. But that carnal nature kicked in to find something wrong. Surely it's somebody else's fault. Surely it wasn't me. I couldn't have made a mistake. And so that kind of idea came into their head, and the carnal nature says, what are we going to do? They looked at Moses and said, what are we going to do? You know, after all, Moses, it's your fault we're out here anyway. You know, when you're not feeling good, you look for somebody else to blame. That's the carnal way, carnal nature. And the people of Israel here had quickly forgotten the God who delivered them out of Egypt. They had quickly forgotten the Red Sea that had completely annihilated the Egyptian army. And now their faith quickly turned to doubt. Where were they going to get water? They could think of nothing else. And so in verses 23 and 24, we find here they came to a place called Marah, M-A-R-A-H, and they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called bitter, Marah. That's what it means. And so they came to that place. They were thirsty, and there's numerous places in Scripture where the Bible refers to thirst, both spiritual and physical. And we find that at the cross, one of the sufferings of Christ on the cross was, he said, I thirst. And that was part of the crucifixion work invented by the Romans, probably the Phoenicians. Romans practiced crucifixion. And on the cross, Jesus said in one place, one of his statements was, I thirst. And here Jesus was on the cross, pre-incarnate Christ, but in eternity with God, forever God in the past, forever the Son of God in the past, but now Son of Man. Now he would die on the cross. He created the seas, the rivers, the salt, and the water, and the fresh. And he caused water to come out of the rock for Israel for 40 years, for the flinty rock, the hardest rock that there is, but God caused water to come out of it. And yet on the cross, Jesus said, I thirst. And so he knew everything that was common to humanity. He felt every feeling that common to man, because the Son of God became the Son of Man. And so Son of Man, referring to his Son of God, referring to his deity, Son of God, referring to his Son of Man, referring to his humanity. And so we see here on the word thirst, let's look at water for just a moment. Water is both a symbol of salvation and the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone that thirsts, come and drink. Matthew 5 and 6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Revelation 22 and 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and partake of the water of life freely. So salvation is compared to water here. Also, the Holy Spirit is compared to water, one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, verse 37, we find there that Jesus said, I've got it here. okay. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." So we find that water is a symbol both of salvation and also the Holy Spirit. And it is my belief, not just my belief, it's a scriptural thing that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be refilled with the Holy Spirit, that the water of God can flow through your life continually as you're filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe one of the great needs of the church today is not only to be birthed and born again of God's Spirit, and it is a work of God, and you're as saved as you'll ever be when you're birthed and born again of the Spirit, but there's more. You can be baptized in the Spirit with initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, not as somebody else gives the utterance, but as God gives the utterance. Amen. So we find here that on this journey of faith, they thirsted. They came to a place where they thought their needs were going to be met. Oh, yes, there's water here everywhere, but the water was bitter. There was something wrong with it. It was unfit to drink, and they had to realize they would have to be sustained by God. If there was any water there in the desert place, it would have to come from God. There was no other way. There was no other method to supply daily need, only God, and that brought them to the place of faith. You're either going to live this life and trust God and live by faith, or else you're not going to make it. That's what they had to learn. Amen. And also, our journey in Christ is also a journey of faith. In this wilderness of sin that we live in the world that we live in, we learn that God is our source of all things. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning." And so we realize that every blessing that we have, it comes from God. We're dependent upon God for the next breath. We're dependent on God for the next heartbeat. God gives it all. He's a creator of life. Amen. In this physical body, if something goes wrong with it, God knows how to fix it because he made it to start with. He's not trying to figure out what we're made out of. He knows what we're made out of since he made us. And we can go to him, and we have to learn to live by faith in this world. Our salvation, deliverance from sin, eternal hope, joy of life is sustained by God. Take this in mind for a thought. When you're saved, yes, you're saved. You're delivered from the bondage of sin. The curse of sin is lifted from you. The consequences of sin are gone. But we're saved. But not only that, but we're also being saved. God's work was complete at salvation, no doubt about it. But also, we will eventually be saved. So we're saved, being saved, and in the end, we'll be saved. 1 Peter 1:9 says, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." I'm not saying that this is three steps of salvation. I'm not saying that at all. When you're saved, you're born again. You're his child. You belong to him. You've been born again of the Spirit. Amen. And you can be confident of that. Amen. But God continually saves us from what this world would do to us if we weren't saved. And because God's Spirit indwells the believer, then God warns us of sin, warns us of its consequences. So as we learn to walk with God and live by faith, amen, that we're being saved from whatever would come upon us if we weren't saved. And in the end of faith is complete salvation, us being in heaven. Praise the Lord. Okay, so they were in the wilderness of Shur, and they just surely didn't like it, if you'll pardon the expression. And so they were thirsty, and then comes the complaint. The bitter water was disappointment. Were the people becoming bitter? Yeah, they became bitter just like the water they were drinking. The water still retained its ancient character, and it had a bad name among Arabs later on, who seldom, even till today, don't allow their camels to partake of it. Amen. Camel water. Wouldn't even do that. And the word Mara, as I mentioned, means bitter. And bitterness is an emotion common to humanity. To hold grudges, to be continually offended. Some people are offended if they don't get offended. That's a hard one. But bitter things happen in life, and sin is never satisfied because bitterness is not a fruit of the Spirit, it is a work of the flesh. And to become angry and to stay angry and become to give way into a sin of some kind or a work of the flesh somewhere or another, it only becomes greater and sin grows. I remember back in my hometown of De Leon, great place, had 2,000 when I left, still has 2,000, so it hadn't grown much. But we, like I've mentioned earlier, we farmed peanuts in the peanut fields, and it grew, and so we spent our summers doing that, and then in the fall was harvest time, it was a combine and all that, but there was a particular kind of weed that grew among the peanuts that we didn't like. And I don't know what the name of the scientific name of it is, but we called it nut grass. And the nut grass was devastating to the peanut crop because it would choke out the moisture and the soil that all the peanuts needed, and the nut grass came in to take over. I've seen more than one kind of nut take over things. Anyway, better move on. But you see, there is a, mentioned in Scripture, a root of bitterness, a mara in people's personal lives that can just take root and begin to grow in a person's life if it's not dealt with. And there is something in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, it calls attention to an Old Testament character, and that of Jacob and Esau. And so Esau allowed a root of bitterness, something to grow in his life until he planned to kill his brother. We know that Jacob and Esau, they were twins. And Jacob received, he was a different kind of man. Esau was the kind that went out and hunted. And he's the kind that brought in food and game to his family and to his dad. And his dad loved to eat of his game. And Jacob was more of the kind, he was kind of pansy. He kind of stayed around the house and cooked all the time. And so one day Esau comes in from hunting, and he notices that Jacob is cooking some red stew there. And so he comes by, and Esau was hungry. So later, that's the reason later on they called him Edom. Not really. But anyway, he came by and said, "Give me some of that red stew." And Esau and Jacob said, "Swear that you'll give me your birthright, and I'll give you this pot of stew." And so it happened. Esau ate the stew, got up, went on his way. And afterwards, Jacob, which name means supplanter and deceiver, and he was good at it till God changed his name to Israel. But later on, not only would Jacob take the birthright, but Jacob would steal the blessing, the prophetic blessing that Isaac would pray over his son. And we know that from there, God dealt with Jacob and changed his name to Israel eventually. And he became the father of the nation of Israel. Man. And so the people here complained. Because you see, bitterness is something, is a sin that grows, a root that grows in your life until it completely consumes a person. That sin is never satisfied until it runs its full course and completely destroys it. The devil's never satisfied till he destroys you completely. But he don't have the authority to destroy you completely. God stepped in when you were saved, when you're born again of God's Spirit, and God became your father. You're not of your father or the devil, you're of your father God in heaven. Praise the Lord. And so he's able to take the root of bitterness out of you and pull it up by the root, so to speak, amen, and give you peace instead. And so when you walk through this life, you can walk with faith, knowing that whatever I come up against, God is bigger, God is greater, God is more powerful, God is victorious, God is not going to lose, God is going to win. He won at the cross. He defeated sin at the cross. Praise the Lord. Pay the price for it there. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it brings this story back. Chapter 12, verse 15. Man, let me move over here to Hebrews. I was in John. John 15 doesn't say the same thing. It says, pursue peace with all men, with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. And so Esau didn't have spiritual values at all. Jacob did. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau did everything he could to receive the blessing, but Jacob had already had the blessing and was already gone to the land of his fathers. And when the prophetic blessing was given, that was it. There were no more blessings to be given. And the spiritual giants here, Isaac, one of them, amen, gave the blessing to Jacob, and he had no blessing left for Esau. And so Esau was bitter to the point where he said, when my father's old and when he's dying, I'm going to take Jacob out, I'm going to kill him. That's because he allowed the root of bitterness to continue to grow and grow and grow in his life and did not deal with it. And he did not, he would be 20 years or so later before they would see each other again, and it was gone by then. But it grows. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's a work of the flesh. Bitterness is. Let me ask you, are there things in your life that you are retaining bitterness about? Did you see what they did to me? Did you see how ill-treated, how unfairly I was treated the last time? Did you see what Billy Bob did to me 13 years ago? Man, let me tell you something, friend. When things come about and bitterness is there, don't pet your bitterness. Don't let it rule your life. Don't let it grow in your life. Amen. Believe God to help you to jerk it up by the roots. Without God's help, you can't, but with God's help, you can. And so Israel here come to the place called Marah, which means bitter. Bitter waters there were no good. And so God moved upon Moses here to do something about it. Back in our text there, we says verse 25, Exodus 15:25. And he cried out to the Lord. Moses said, what am I going to do with these people? These people are complaining again. They don't have anything to drink. Here he is, you know, you're not talking about five or six people. You're not talking about one family. You're talking about probably a million people at least. Somewhere, scholars believe between 1 and 3 million people, not to mention all the animals and the donkeys and the mules and all the things that went with it, sheep and goats. And so God showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute, an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. God was saying, you've got to learn to walk across this desert and this wilderness by faith. You've got to depend on me for water every day. You've got to depend on me every day for everything you're going to get. Necessities of life are going to be there, but you've got to learn to walk in faith. You've got to trust God. The God that brought you out of Egypt gave you victory over the Egyptians. The God that brought you out of slavery is able to give you peace, able to help you. You're free now because God did what he did. And we can bring this down to New Testament time, friend. We're free from the law. If you're saved today, you're free from the law of sin and death because of something that God did, because of a miracle that he did for you and what he did on Calvary's tree when the cross was laid there and or put there and Jesus hung upon it and paid the price for our sins. The Lord showed him a tree, which would be compared to the cross at Calvary. And Jesus suffered for all bitter things you and I would ever go through. You know, if people are bitter over a long disease they've dealt with for a long time in pain, and I'm not putting that down, the things are very real. And people suffer with various things. People are suffering from broken things and broken lives and broken families and broken marriages, broken homes and broken relationships. The world suffers with those type of things. But even out of bitter things, God can turn your life into sweetness. because of the tree that Jesus died on, Calvary. Amen. A tree that he made. Remember a few years ago, not in this church, some other church, between here and the North Pole? Not really. It was one I pastored. But a young woman, she was young then, she'd think that as a compliment now. But she had a troubled life. Her name was Toya. She had a troubled life, a troubled marriage. She'd been married to the same guy a couple of times, two or three times, and it hadn't worked out either time. And finally she decided she had the wrong guy, I think. But anyway, I remember she came to a church. She got saved, gave her life to Jesus, and she was an ordinary young woman, but she worked for a dentist, and she was making $600, not a week, but a month. She had a troubled life. She was left with no confidence. She had three children at home, and she was having one of those sleepless nights. And because she was saved, she began to pray, and she did heard people say about it, but she didn't think she could. But she prayed, and she ended up praying all night long. And she thought, I've got to get some sleep. I'll awaken the next morning. I won't be worth 2 cents to go to a job on and be awake. But when she woke the next morning, because of her prayer, all the bitterness was gone of past relationships. She was fully awake, and she said, I didn't think I could stay awake that day. She said, I was wide awake all day because God had given it to me. And she had a wonderful day. And God had revealed himself and brought peace to her, and the bitterness was gone. And one day, I guess the Lord moved upon me, and I'll give him the credit for it. For all, I said, you know, you could probably go to school and probably draw enough from the government to go to school on if you're single and with three kids and divorced, and probably you would live better than you would making $600 a month at the dentist office. Nothing against dentist, but she just wasn't making anything there. He wouldn't pay her properly anyway. And so she took my word on. She began to research, and we researched it out. After a little while, I said, you know, you could get a job as a nurse if you could get a degree, you know, be a LVN or an RN. And she pursued that, and she came out, went to school, and God provided for her needs. As far as I know, she's still a nurse today. Living for, guess what? God can do. And God can take a bitter situation and make something sweet out of it, which he did for her. Amen. You know, the believer, in Psalm chapter 1, the believer is looked at as a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Amen. And so God takes care of the person that follows him and lives for him and works for him and serves him all their days. Amen. And so as we go through life's difficulties, I want to tell you something, friend. We can have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. If there's mountains that need to be removed, I want to tell you, not one is too big for God. Not one is too tall for God. If there's things you can't get over, God can get over it, and God can help you get over it. And God's helped me get over a lot of things. Amen. And you too. But I want to tell you something. God revealed himself here to Israel as one of Jehovah's names, Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord our healer. And he told in verse 26 here, he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, 10 commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that heals you, the name there for God. And so God brought healing here, praise the Lord. And so God put them to a place of faith. He said, if you'll follow me, follow my commandments, you won't have to worry about any of the diseases of the Egyptians coming up on you. I'm going to take care of you, divine healing. And you know, people need healing today more than just for physical healing. We think of healing on the cross and just to make us feel better. And thank God for that he heals us and makes us feel better. But healing really is to show the people outside that God can heal and does heal. It's for testimony to come out of that. Praise the Lord. And God can heal from sin's diseases. And I want to tell you, sin has made more people sick. Sin has caused venereal disease, it's caused all kinds of diseases. People didn't take care of things, and they said, well, I just want to try this for a while. I want to live in sin. I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to live like this for a little while. And then they find after a while they're bound and they can't come out of that sin. If I'd only listened, but they become bitter because of what has happened to them. Because you see, God's healing is not just from sin, from physical diseases, it's from emotional wounds. Many people are wounded emotionally. People from mental problems, people from wrong decisions in their lives. There's people that suffer all of their lives from wrong decisions that they made when they were young and think they can't be forgiven or think that they will never get past that or get over that, and they go all of their life feeling guilty of what God has already forgiven them, done for, has erased it from their slate. They're clean, amen, and God, but they're bitter, and their problems before they don't think can be taken care of, but God takes care of them. God loves you, my friend. He wants to restore you. He doesn't want you to be confused. He don't want you to live in Mara, place of bitterness, all your life. God wants you to be healed from that. Praise God. So Israel here, the waters were made sweet, and then God led them to a better place called Elam. Verse 27, Then they came to Elam, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. Praise God. The next place wasn't a place where there was no water. The next place wasn't bitter. It was where there were 12 wells of water. It was where there was tremendous provision for them. It was an oasis in the desert. And it was here that God replaced fear with faith. It's here God replaced fear, or replaced complaint with faith. Replace disappointment with faith. For whenever there is a Mara, God will always provide an Elam somewhere. Elam means place of trees. The wells and the palm trees of Elam were a welcome relief from the barrenness of travel and the wasteland and the desert. And many times the Bible compares wells and springs to salvations and palm trees to blessing. The place where you are now may be a Mara experience, a bitter experience. I don't know. I don't know your heart this day. God does, and you know. But when we follow the cloud of God's glory and begin to follow His leading, then God will lead us not to a place of more bitterness, but to relief from the bitterness of the time. Maybe bitterness is not a problem with you. Amen. I hope it's not. But if it is, we can let things go. And God can help us to be rid of them for good. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a time when Jacob and Esau would meet together and everything was at peace. It's a lot of years later, but God had caused the bitterness to go. Amen. And God can do so today. Praise the Lord.